Thank you. Thank you most sincerely for your wonderful welcome. And it is almost impossible to believe that it has been 11 months since we last gathered at our conference. And in that time, much has happened. We have fought and won two elections. We have continued to strive to get a sensible Brexit deal. The United Kingdom has a new Prime Minister. And rather than have Boris with us today, we have had to send him to the naughty step in Parliament twice in this last week. Twice. But, colleagues, it has, I think it was Harold Wilson who coined the phrase that a week is a long time in politics. But in this era, the era through which we are living, a day seems like an eternity. But while that may be the case, one thing remains certain. This party continues to stand strong for Northern Ireland. And this afternoon, I want to especially welcome and acknowledge our visitors here from outside the party and to thank them all for their friendship and indeed their support. I want to thank colleagues, members and supporters for their loyalty, their support, their hard work and dedication to our cause since we last met. Now, our Democratic Unionist family is at its best when we work together in common cause and pursuit of the goals that bind us together. Our love of Northern Ireland, our determination to serve the people, and our desire to shape a future within the United Kingdom for the benefit of everyone. Now, we meet at a time of momentous significance. I believe that future generations will look back and recognise these days as a defining time where the choices we made shaped their future. And in that context, the voters of Northern Ireland have placed a great responsibility on the shoulders of this party. They have trusted us to do what is in the best interests of Northern Ireland and to exercise that responsibility in a manner that is beneficial for all. And in this crucial moment in the affairs of our lands, we will be guided by that principle. More than ever, we are motivated, we are focused, and we are determined to get Northern Ireland moving again. And in my leader's address to conference last year, I indicated that this party would use the local government elections to offer voters a plan, not just for low rates and quality services, but also to make a meaningful difference to our society. And today, we celebrate the success we had in the local government election last May. We increased our vote share with an extra 19,000 votes and returned 122 councillors. And I congratulate all those elected. And I also want to pay tribute to long-standing councillors who stepped down and indeed to our candidates who ran excellent campaigns but who unfortunately were unsuccessful on this occasion, some by the narrowest of margins. And I am immensely proud, conference, that it is the DUP that is the only party with female representation in every single council chamber in Northern Ireland. But securing the support of people at the ballot box is the lifeblood of any party. But using the mandate entrusted to us to deliver positively for voters is even more important. And the Democratic Unionist Party has a track record of working for the people all of the time, not just at election time. And unlike some other candidates, we don't just rock up in your neighbourhood asking for votes a few days or weeks before the poll. In our local government election campaign, we pledged that through councils, we would commit to delivering a real and lasting legacy for people with disabilities. So following the election, I am pleased that DUP councillors working with councillors from other parties have already started work on delivering more for people with disabilities, including work on greater provision of inclusive play parks. We are determined to make a real difference on everyday issues. And of course, in the European election in June, Diane increased her first preference vote share by another percentage point and was the first candidate elected in Northern Ireland. Through strong teamwork and a track record of delivery, Diane Dodds was and is the voice of experience from Northern Ireland in the European Parliament. Come on, conference, show us what you think. Sadly, conference, Diana is now the only representative standing strong for Northern Ireland in Europe, at a time when other representatives spend more time either attacking or ignoring the views and concerns of unionism. So whether in local council chambers, London or Brussels, it is the Democratic Unionist Party that is at the centre of the debate. Now, Sinn Féin claim to be shaping the debate, but in truth, they have been reduced to glorified lobbyists posing for pictures to post on Twitter. Never before have we, as a small regional party, carried so much responsibility in Parliament in particular. And I do pay tribute to the fortitude and to the wisdom of our Deputy Leader, Nigel, as he leads our Westminster team. And in the days and weeks ahead, we can be confident that all of our members of Parliament will continue to speak up for the best interests of the people of Northern Ireland. Because when we believe that the government is pursuing policies that are in the interests of the United Kingdom as a whole, and Northern Ireland in particular, we will work with them, and indeed others, in the pursuit of a more prosperous Northern Ireland. Because the votes given to us by people across Northern Ireland in 2017 meant we were able to secure additional money for schools, for roads and hospitals in Northern Ireland. This funding from our confidence and supply agreement with the Conservatives has been delivered. The money is here. It's funding extra GPs, it's improving mental health services, it's funding breakfast clubs and after-school clubs in your area. And for those of you who still can't watch YouTube, not that I'm a YouTube fan, but I'm just saying, you still can't watch YouTube without that frustrating buffering notice. I have good news. £150 million from the Confidence and Supply Agreement is being used to transform rural broadband. The tender is out and faster broadband is on its way. So, ladies and gentlemen, the £1 billion extra pounds for Northern Ireland shows the difference it makes when you turn up, when you take your seats, and you use your vote for the betterment of everyone in Northern Ireland. Mary Lou and Michelle blame the Confidence and Supply Agreement for blocking the Northern Ireland Assembly. Yet the constituencies impacted most by the broadband money have Sinn Féin MPs. Indeed, of over 450 schools receiving funding from the £1 billion, over 30 of those schools received funding to help them teach the Irish language. So, whilst others talk, whilst others tweet, the DUP delivers. We have used our 10 votes to help everyone. So this conference has a message for Connolly House. Stop making excuses, stop boycotting, and get back to work. So with our 10 votes being so critical in Parliament, there is a great responsibility to make sure that we support the right decisions for Northern Ireland, but to have the boldness and strength to stand up and say no when we need to. And on Brexit, we will not give support to the government when we believe they are fundamentally wrong and acting in a way that is detrimental to Northern Ireland and taking us in the wrong direction. We will oppose them, and we will use our votes to defeat them. And let me say clearly from this platform today that we want to support a deal that works for the whole of the United Kingdom and which does not leave Northern Ireland behind. But without change, we will not vote for the Prime Minister's agreement. It would be bad for Northern Ireland economically and will weaken the foundations of this great United Kingdom. Now, the Brexit Secretary says there will not be Northern Ireland to Great Britain paperwork. Then he says there will. The Prime Minister says there will not be checks, but then we are told there will be. Now we are told it can be sorted out by a joint committee with the European Union. Look, we have been clear. We have been honest with the government throughout this process, and we expect the same in return. The customs and consent arrangements must be revisited and a one-nation approach adopted. We worked intensively with the government over recent weeks to try to reach a fair and balanced deal. We were not seeking a perfect deal, because no such deal exists. We were seeking a deal which delivered Brexit without erecting barriers to trade. Dublin and Brussels belatedly reopened Mrs. May's deal, having rigidly refused to do so. And having told us it could not be renegotiated, it was. And I would encourage the Prime Minister to do the same again. The one-sided approval mechanism for the Assembly takes no account of power sharing. Indeed, it would lead to Sinn Féin, the SDLP and the Alliance Party ganging up to render unionist votes irrelevant. And if you believe in the principles of power sharing, then those principles must be enshrined in any deal. Furthermore, the East-West checks as proposed would lead to excessively bureaucratic burdens for trade between Great Britain and Northern Ireland, and consequently higher prices and less choice for consumers. Because as Nigel has said, we trade far more with Great Britain than we do with the Republic of Ireland, European Union, and the rest of the world combined. Yet the proposals put forward would see our East-West trade subject to the rules of the European Union Customs Union, notwithstanding that we would remain part of the UK customs territory. So we do not consider the proposals to be in Northern Ireland's longer-term interests, and they are clearly without support within unionism. Last Saturday and Tuesday of this week, it was the votes of the DUP that altered the course of events. Our votes mattered, and our votes will matter in the coming days. We will continue to work to shape a solution in Northern Ireland's interests, and we will judge each situation against what is best for Northern Ireland economically and constitutionally within the Union. Now, there is much talk about the holding of a general election, and this party is ready for any general election that may come. We have a strong record to put to the people, and now, more than ever, we will seek a mandate to ensure Northern Ireland has the strongest team fighting for it. But make no mistake, this will be the most unpredictable election outcome in the United Kingdom for a generation. Many beyond Northern Ireland will be eagerly watching the results to determine how Northern Ireland should be treated. Northern Ireland will need a strong, experienced and united voice that can speak for unionism and get Northern Ireland moving again. Every vote cast in every constituency and the number of seats secured by this party will help shape the direction of Northern Ireland for our grandchildren. Last month, I set out the principles of what I termed next generation unionism and our vision for Northern Ireland entering its next century. Now, modern day Northern Ireland has changed markedly and will continue to change. And today we are launching a detailed document on next generation unionism, and I look forward to engaging with everyone who values Northern Ireland's position about our paper and the issues it explores. I have written to a number of other parties in an effort to engage individually with them around it, and a first meeting has already taken place on Monday. I will seek to stimulate interest amongst other groups and sectors as well. And we want those engagements to extend far beyond political parties. It must be a much broader discussion right across the community. It's time to commence a conversation, recognising that politicians certainly don't have all the answers. Unionism should be inclusive, it should be welcoming and embracing to all. It should permit individuals to express the cultural life that they choose. And whilst many focus on Ulster Scots and unionism, let me be clear, it is not incompatible to be an Irish language speaker and a unionist. Indeed, there might even be one or two here today. And because... And because the backgrounds of unionists are many and are varied, unionism should have many portals and multiple gateways in. But the inescapable fact remains that people value Northern Ireland's place in the United Kingdom for a wide range of economic, social, historical, cultural reasons. And of course, culture can play a big part in our identity and who we are. Too often, though, in Northern Ireland, culture has been demeaned and demonised or proven detrimental to progress here. Northern Ireland is rich in different cultures, and we need to embrace and cherish them in a manner that threatens no one. Those who seek to engage in a cultural war engage in a zero-sum battle, because Northern Ireland is big enough to accommodate everyone's culture. Indeed, as unionists, it is in our long-term strategic interest to ensure that everyone, regardless of their culture, feels at home in Northern Ireland. That is why, in the talks with other Northern Ireland political parties, we have proposed principles around cultural expression and identity that can harness and develop all that is good about these pursuits. And we must use them as a force for good to educate and help give people confidence and develop as individuals. We are so much more than two traditions in Northern Ireland now, and we need to give our new identity space to grow and to prosper. And as Northern Ireland approaches its centenary, this is an opportunity to promote all that is good about where we live. There should be a broad range of events, so there is something for everyone of every background, and it should be an opportunity for Invest Northern Ireland, and indeed Westminster's Department for International Trade, to promote investment in Northern Ireland, and likewise for Tourism Northern Ireland to reap rich rewards. We want to see a fund established for centenary events, and we have proposed a centennial expo to showcase all Northern Ireland can offer. A homecoming event ought to be pursued as well as other initiatives involving the Northern Ireland diaspora right across the world. Materials and resources should be developed for schools and youth engagement, and the story of the establishment of the Northern Ireland state should be told. However important our history is, though, the future is much more important. Looking back at previous generations may be interesting and instructive, but our duty and our responsibility is to look forward to the next generation. We must leave the next generation a better Northern Ireland than the one we inherited. So we all need to get Northern Ireland moving again. We need to ensure that in the place that we call home, we have decent jobs, real opportunities for our young people, an education system that leaves no child behind, and a reformed health service that is able to deliver best-in-class services. And we want to rekindle a generosity of spirit that has been missing for some time. We want to reach out and help our friends and neighbours, value the contribution of older citizens, help the more vulnerable in society, and importantly, value the sanctity of life. Ladies and gentlemen, last Monday, this party was in the Assembly Chamber, whilst other parties stayed away or walked out. And when it comes to the life of the unborn child, this party will not be found wanting. We will continue to work with all those who recognise that both lives matter. And where there is diversity and difference of view, we should not hide from it, nor fear it, but we must debate and seek to persuade in a spirit of respect and understanding for the other point of view. Rightly, there will be many policy areas where we will differ from others, and sometimes fundamentally so, but we can do that in an honest and in a gracious manner. Now, people are proud of where they come from, proud of Belfast, and of Northern Ireland, of Game of Thrones and our tourism offer, and the cruise ships which come to Belfast. But they know that a Northern Ireland needs a government. To have a better healthcare system, really get to grips with the organised gangs and criminality, and to offer the best job prospects for our young people. Too many fear that the peace process has stalled and that we are heading in the wrong direction. Taking decisions locally undoubtedly helps with the bread and butter issues, but it also provides vital stability and it bolsters the peace and strengthens relations, and that's good for Northern Ireland. So I want to see the Assembly and Executive rejuvenated and re-energised. We are up for that. We know that Northern Ireland works best when we work together. And to get a deal to bring Stormont back, there will need to be an agreement that we can all support. Now, I've already committed more than 2 years ago to seek accommodation and to legislate in a balanced way for language and culture, including the Irish language. Unfortunately, we in the West have had too many painful experiences of the manner in which councils, particularly in the West and in the South, have sought to implement Irish language policies. But we do recognise that there are many in Northern Ireland who love the Irish language and for whom it is an intrinsic part of who they are. So my offer stands. If we can find a way to craft language and culture laws that facilitates those who speak the language but does not inappropriately infringe or threaten others, then the DUP will not be found wanting. But overall agreement needs to be a two-way street. And in particular, the DUP wants to see mechanisms to cultivate and grow relationships between Northern Ireland and Great Britain through all walks of life, including educational and cultural connections. And if Stormont is to be returned on a long-term basis, that means sharing the responsibility of a fair deal. No winners or losers, everyone putting their best foot forward to provide a brighter future for us all. Others may seek to put obstacles in the way, but the DUP will continue to try to find a way to secure an agreement. Now, when I became leader in December of 2015, I said that I wanted this party to be a party of ideas, not ideology. I am therefore delighted that as a party we are undertaking a much more comprehensive policy development programme than ever before, ranging from the environment to childcare, mental health, services for veterans, House of Lords reform, productivity and skills. And we have a comprehensive agenda for government that we want to see delivered, making communities stronger, streets safer, and rewarding hard work. Providing better jobs and family incomes, a healthy environment and landscape, taking pride in Northern Ireland, and doing our politics so much better. Within health, the Bengoa reforms need to be fully implemented, with some elements sitting ready to go, just waiting on the appointment of a minister. We are supportive of transformation being clinically led and driven, with the benefits of technology and data maximised. We stand by our commitment for an additional £1 billion to be invested in health by the end of the Assembly term, and that resources should be prioritised in primary care. In education, we want a level playing field so that all schools are treated equally. A reform fund should assist area-based changes, and more money must go directly to the classroom. We support more shared education, leading ultimately to a single system, and sectors need to set aside their own interests and recognise the benefit for society in children being educated together. We want to see a fundamental review of how schools are managed, much like the Bengoa approach in health, which would incorporate the effectiveness and performance of the Education Authority and other bodies. Because too many parents and teachers are at their wits' end with the very basics of our education system. The Education and Training Inspectorate should be reorientated into a Northern Ireland Educational Improvement Service, and a commission should be established to make recommendations on improving the outcomes of boys from disadvantaged backgrounds, particularly in the inner city. We want to get Northern Ireland moving again, with a reformed government restored, so decisions are taken by local people. That's what most people want. Northern Ireland has great potential, its people has great potential, but we will never resile from our belief that Northern Ireland is best served by being part of the United Kingdom. But unionism is about all of us and not anyone alone. It is about everyone working together as one for the greater good to build a Northern Ireland we can all be proud of. So we have much to do in the months ahead. The challenge is great, but you know what? The determination is greater. This party has always risen to the task. We have always led from the front. And with the support of the people, we will do so again. So let us move forward with humility as we discharge our responsibilities, but confident and determined in what we can achieve together for the future and for the generations that will follow us. Now, conference, now more than ever, let us stand strong for the union. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I think that is a round of applause, of appreciation. Thank you very much, and I congratulate again our party leader on a first-class speech. I think as you leave conference today, which you'll be doing in a few minutes, it's all about the union and about delivery. And when we meet here again, this time next year, it'll be about the union. And the union will be there. And you and I, hopefully, will be here along with a couple of thousand more. So, ladies and gentlemen, I think we've had a good day. And it's time to quit and go home. But before you do that, I'm going to ask conference to be upstanding for the singing of the national anthem, please. The national anthem.
God save our gracious Queen, long live.
Can I just thank all our staff who have worked so hard to make this a success today, and I wish everyone a safe and pleasant journey home. If you're driving, drive on the left. If you're walking, do it on the right, and there's a better chance you'll make it. Thank you, and good evening.